It's about, oh, about 12 minutes to 8 o'clock now on Noongar Radio. I got Megan Cracker in the studio. Welcome to Noongar Radio, Megan.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Are you talking into the microphone?
Yeah, got it happening.
That's weird. Let's see if I can find the right one. Is that it?
Hello, how are you?
That's better. Got the right one now.
Mark, we love being here. It's absolutely amazing. And
thanks for coming in.
It's always a pleasure.
Okay. The Social Justice Warriors Independents. You're all independents, but you're all on the one ticket. Can you explain how that works for everybody?
Thanks, Mark. Really appreciate it. So, obviously, people can vote for the House of Representatives, still choose who they want to vote, They can still vote for the House of Representatives. That's the lower house. Vote for Labor, vote for Liberals, whoever you want. We only want the one seat in the upper house, that's the Senate. So how it actually works is that if you want to vote for us and you think that we're worthy of your vote, you vote above the line. And to make your vote valid, there needs to be 6 elected above the line. So ideally, we'd love to have the number one vote of many and then 5 others to make the vote valid. So we're not running for the lower house, the House of Reps. Vote for whoever you want. We just want and would appreciate people's support in the Senate.
Right. So we haven't actually had an independent senator from Western Australia since 1971.
No, we haven't. And that's really quite disappointing. It's really quite surprising. And the thing is, there needs to be checks and balances at the highest level of government. We could have all the major parties, and that's really good that they're out there. But I think a lot of people are a little bit disillusioned with some of the major parties, if I can be honest. People still being left behind in terms of housing, accommodation, incarceration, child removals, suicides. As I mentioned on your previous shows, there's been 10,000 people who have lost their lives in a period of 3 years right across the nation, and that's an indictment not only on the West Australian government, but also the federal government. So what we're trying to do is something special, special for our community, special for black, white and brown, special for the most marginalised and vulnerable, and saying, hey, give us a crack at your to be your independent senators from Western Australia. Therefore, there will be the checks and balances. The reason why we didn't want to run with the major parties is that our voices would have been suppressed and we would have had to toe the party line. This way, by running as independent senators, we can speak in ways that should, and the lived experience will come with us. Jerry Georgiadis and myself, he's our lead candidate. Basically, we've worked with 20,000 people, the most marginalised and vulnerable, within a period of 3 years. In the houses, on the streets, in the hospitals, in the prisons. So we've heard the stories time and time and time again. And we got a little bit frustrated, and I got frustrated. Basically, we could only take it as far as what we could in terms of the media and so forth. This way, by having a position in the Senate, we would be independent senators. Therefore, we could speak in ways that should, to galvanise outcomes, to galvanise change, and we can do it in an expert way where we're educating, arbitrating and negotiating the outcomes that our people deserve. We've just seen the failings. We've seen the disrespect. We've seen people hurt by discriminatory systems, racist systems, and systems that just aren't there for all, and that's why one of our things that we will be getting across the line, or that we will be advocating hard for, is the Human Rights Act. And the Human Rights Act is about the protection of human rights for all. Too many and too often our people are being left behind, and there's a lot of invisible people that just aren't being heard. So, for example, out at Yongan Hills Detention Centre, there's lack of legal representation. They're human beings. They're our brothers and sisters. They're entitled to legal representation like everybody else. In terms of incarceration, we have 1 in 12 Aboriginal men that are in prison today in Western Australia. 1 in 12.
Yeah.
And that's an indictment of the system. We also have, in terms of Banksia Hill, 580 people that have now joined this looming class action. So the 580 testimonies right across the state, from Kununurra, from Broome, from Geraldton, from Mullawal, from Carnarvon, right down to Albany. Why we're doing the class action is because changes the courts can compel. We know that there's no political will, because if there was some political will, the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody in 1991, the 339 recommendations, the majority of those recommendations would have been implemented.
How many of those recommendations are actually related to incarceration?
All.
Hmm.
They're all related in some way. So, for example, the Aboriginal Visitor Scheme, that's run by the Department of Corrective Services. That's a recommendation from the Royal Commission into in terms of fines. There should be, according to the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody, fines should be retired after a certain period. So I believe that's 5 years.
Mm.
And that's where the situation with Miss Jury rests in peace, and why we're doing the class action in relation to unpaid fines.
Some of these things can hang around for years because you try to pay off your fine and you're not making enough money because you haven't got a decent job.
Oh.
And you're not paying the minimum amount on the fine, and then you can be paying extra for not paying the minimum amount, and all of these things keep adding up and adding to the end of the fine and adding to the end date, and your fines can go on for years.
Absolutely. People are leaving this world still owing money for unpaid fines. That's reality. Some of the fines are $5,000, $10,000, $20,000, $50,000, and the one that myself and Jerry, we actually happened to be in court that day. One lady, dear soul there, over $100,000 worth of fines, and she was on Centrelink.
Mm.
So these type of fines, they're unreasonable, it's not equitable, and that's why there's a campaign in terms of income size assessed fines. So a person who is in receipt of $20,000 or on Centrelink payments, in comparison to someone who's on $150,000, those fines, whether it be for speeding, parking, whatever the situation, it needs to be income size assessed based on your income. That's not happening right now, and that's why we've got a campaign to ensure there's that affordability and people aren't being put out as a result.
Yeah. So you guys are wandering around WA at the moment. Where are you going to today?
Yeah, we're cruising all over the place. We're up at Northam today.
Northam?
Yeah, so we've got a...
If you guys are listening up at Northam, be aware. Megan and Jerry are on your way.
Yeah, and also Mervyn, he's going to be our taxi driver. basically, it's a beautiful event that's being organised by Robin Davies.
Okay.
Davis, sorry. She's an incredible individual, and we're very thankful and appreciative of everything that she's doing. So it's a barbecue that's happening at 12:30, and the address is Billia Court, Budja. That's on Minson Place or Minson Avenue,
mm-hmm,
up in Northam. So we're really looking forward to it. We'll be making trips up to Geraldton over the coming weeks, also from where I come from, down home, Mount Barker way.
Mm-hmm.
And basically we're just mobilising people and just saying, hey, we're out there, we just want one crack at the Senate as independents so we can speak in ways that can. Now, in terms of myself and Jerry, we have 11 degrees between us.
Mm.
Jerry's got 10 degrees, I've got the law degree. So in terms of the legal background, in terms of the academics, we do have that. But more so than that, in terms of education, you need to give meaning to qualifications.
Mm. Mm.
Qualifications, in my opinion, they mean nothing unless you give true meaning to it. And that's really the beautiful thing about it. The working with 20,000 people right across...
Well,
West
having
Australia?
Experience with actual people, that makes a huge difference. Like, I see a lot of people in Parliament that have actually never worked in areas that they've got qualifications in.
Yeah.
Or they go into Parliament from a staffer's position, like working for a politician, and they get promoted into their pre-selection process, and really nobody knows them from the area that they're actually meant to be representing.
Well, see, brother, that's the thing. We can speak with conviction. We know what we have to do. We love our community. We love people, and that's why we're human rights champions in that way. There's a lot of things that we do off our own back. We work mad hours. It's very common for us to work 70, 80 hours a week just responding and helping people along. So in terms of that experiential, it is absolutely incredible because we've walked alongside, journeyed alongside, helped and supported many to take them to a better place. And we always do it with that love and that respect, and that's important. We also know that part of the mental health plan in Western Australia, there's a missing link. That missing link is the assertive outreach.
Mm.
The assertive outreach, the intense psychosocial support and the 24/7, that is absolutely critical. You have those three, we can de-escalate plenty of situations.
All right, well, hang around until after the news. I'm going to play a studio, and she's going to tell us all about... I wanted to ask you about the assertive outreach thing, Megan.
Sure. So as I mentioned previously, the 3 years, 3 years, Jerry Georgiadis and I have worked with 20,000 people right across the nation, the most marginalised and vulnerable, in the prisons, in the homes, on the streets, in the hospitals and the likes. Now, some of our families are extremely broken. Some of our families are dealing with arc of issues, one after the next, after the next, after the next. So we believe that it's important. It's important to go to families. It's important to go to the cohort of people that you're dealing with and always showing that love and that respect and that kindness, but working through arc of issues in a methodical and expert manner. That's life-saving. So how we've been doing up at Acacia Prison, also at Banksy Hill, we'd worked with the mob in the prisons, but then we extended it on to their families in the on the outside. That was to help the fellas and the young ones do their times a little bit easier, knowing that they had someone to stand up for them, someone to basically listen and provide that support. Now, going to people, that is absolutely crucial. It's critical, and that is not part of the mental health plan in Western Australia. If you had those three, that is a winning trifecta: the assertive outreach, the intense psychosocial support, and the 24/7 going to people at all times.
Yeah, being that available at all times, at least.
Absolutely. It makes a hell of a... Sorry for swearing. It makes a big difference. It makes a big difference to people that don't have the means of transportation, that may have Centrelink issues, that may have someone that's just passed away and not sure on how to move the funeral along, that may have issues walking along the side of child sexual abuse. Some of the cohorts, some of the mob that we're dealing with and that we love working with, and that's why we're running for the Senate, is that there's some real extreme challenges, and we see that there is a disconnect, and that's also reflective of the statistics in terms of incarceration, where 1 in 12 Aboriginal men are in prison today, in terms of Banksy Hill, the 10,000 that have been through there since 1997. And since... With Banksy Hill, there's been, in a very short period of time, 5 young ones that have taken their lives after leaving that place.
Mm.
So this is what's happening in our community, and this is a grim reality, and we're just trying to expose this. Expose it in such a way at the highest level of government to arbitrate, to negotiate, to educate the outcomes. Now, if we do get into the Senate, it will not just be a talk fest. There will be bill after bill after bill after bill introduced. And when those bills are introduced, there will be that arbitration, there will be that education, there will be that expertise, and that is what our people not only need in Western Australia, but very much across the country.
Mm.
Now, with the degrees, that's one thing, but with the experiential, in terms of lived experiences, we will be able to articulate on that like no other, and we are relentless. Well, that's reality.
I don't think these people in the government actually have... And I'm not saying, certainly not all of them, but most of them don't actually have any experience working at the coalface or with people.
Mm.
They get their degree, they go straight in to be a staffer for a politician, and then they somehow or another become a politician themselves. And yet they've never actually had a real job. And what I mean by a real job is I mean you're actually out there working with other people that are on the same level as you. You don't have any authority over them, and they're doing the same job as you. These people in Parliament don't have that.
And that's where the education comes into play. The education. It's like some of the campaigns that Jerry Georgiadis has started, for example, the unpaid fines. It was the education. It was about being relentless. It was about putting in the media and so forth. And you'd get one person, then 10 people, then 20 people, then 100 people, then 1,000 people, and now that particular legislation has been changed.
Mm.
It's about being expert in subject matters and taking the conversations to a different level, because the bottom line is we are the sum of our relationships. We need each other to make sure, and this is, I'm talking about politicians, I'm talking about people in the government, we're talking about people in organisations, we need each other to make this a better world for those that's being left behind, the invisible. And that's something that I'm not comfortable with. I don't accept that we can leave a brother and sister out on the streets to die when there's 18,000 families on the wait list in Western Australia, equating to 44,000 people that are homeless or houseless, when we're in a state as rich as what ours is, a $5 billion surplus. Where's the humanity in that? Where's the love and the care for your constituents in Western Australia? I have a problem with that, and I'm angry about that fact. And that's why we will be relentless in the Senate, if we get there, to expose that further and basically arbitrate those outcomes that needs to be had for our community.
Well, you're going to have to take the whole government with you and do a great big U-turn on the direction that they've been heading, because what they've actually, policy-wise, both sides of government have sort of relinquished the services of government to private enterprise. They contract things out, like the services for, what used to be, what do they call it, Centrelink now. That used to be a government-run, whole-of-government-run system that used to provide jobs for people. It used to be directly accountable to the government itself, and now we've got areas, job providers, that are private enterprise, be they not-for-profit or non-not-for-profit. Some of them are for-profit. Yeah. How can that be a good thing? Because their objective would be actually to keep people unemployed so they've got clients.
And so we know that it's a poverty narrative. Right across the nation, Aboriginal people fall below the Henderson poverty line by 40%. In Western Australia, it's 60%. Working with the National Suicide Prevention and Trauma Recovery Project, in a very short period of time, just over a year, 1,200 people we'd assisted with Centrelink. Getting them back on payment, helping them get on other payments, organising exemptions so they didn't have to report to job network providers if there'd been a death in the family. And we had to move really quite quickly. But Centrelink is a massive, massive, massive issue for a lot of our people. Those that go into Banksy Hill, for example, we have kids that are going in 2, 5, 10 times in a very short period of time. So what that means is that a mother or a father or a caregiver that's looking after their child or their grandchild, as soon as that child goes into Banksia, the state becomes the guardian. So the mothers, the fathers, the caregivers, their payments are seized. So when the person comes out of Banksia Hill, they have to do a new application for their little one. So that's really quite problematic when you've got someone going in every single week or every second week or every fourth week. And some of the stories with some of the young ones that we've dealt with, and we've heard their stories 30-odd times.
Yeah.
So when the person has to put in a new application every single time that their loved one or their young one comes out of Banksy Hill, for example, it's really quite problematic. And particularly with Centrelink, it can take a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks to even process an application.
What, it's not done before they actually due to leave prison? Like if the prisoner's due to leave prison in 2 weeks' time, you don't get Centrelink in there getting them signed up so that they've got some income when they get out?
Banksy Hill, from what I understand, and this is a mother that I spoke to yesterday, that's not the situation. In terms of when we were working up at Acacia Prison, some actually had the Centrelink organised. So when they came out of prison, the Centrelink was done.
Yep.
But there were, if you've been in a prison, often for over 2-3 years, your bank account's going to be closed.
Yeah.
And there's two. It's a too common story where people are leaving the prisons without identification, photo cards, birth certificates.
Well, that's just sort of asking for someone to end up back inside, because once they get out and they've got nowhere to go and no income, what are they going to be doing? Probably committing a crime so they can actually live.
And that's why the recidivism is so high. Myself and Mervyn Eads, we did meet with the Commissioner for Corrective Services several days ago, and that was really quite a respectful but strong conversation. And these are some of the things that we alluded the Commissioner to. In terms of people leaving the prison, we need to change that cycle. We need to break it. And the way that we break it is with the people and the voices. So our thing, we don't want to leave anyone behind, and we will not if we get into the Senate. We will change laws, we will arbitrate, and we will do it expertly.
How are you letting people know where you're going to be on particular days? Are you doing that on your website, the socialjusticeindependence.com.au?
Yes, that, but also Facebook. I use that quite heavily. Jerry uses it quite heavily. We're doing interviews all over the place. Last night we did one with the beautiful Jodie Ryder up in Derby. Yep. That was incredible. So we really appreciated Jodie's time. But we're using our website.
Social media.
Social media, just getting it out there. We've been going to footy games, the whole works, and we're just enjoying, loving, and just mixing with the mob.
Okay. Great, Megan. Thanks for being on Noongar Radio again this morning.
So much love and respect to you and your listeners.
Thank you very much. Okay, guys.